The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Twist it, braid it, comb it, brush it, just don't break it. Tara Oils for all your natural hair needs at myteraoils.com. That's MyTeraOils.com. Free shipping. Limited time only.
Philadelphia needs hope. Hope Pregnancy Centers on North Broad Street in Philadelphia has a mission to help women in crisis. In a safe, caring, and judgment-free environment, women receive free services like counseling, ultrasounds, supplies, education, and so much more. Hope's dedicated and loving staff offers personal support through pregnancy, birth, and beyond. On the front lines of Philadelphia, the need is great. But so too are those who step off the sidelines with financial donations that support Hope. If you have ever wondered how you can help, this is your moment to be a true lifeline. Give hope to Philadelphia by visiting multiplyhope.life.
Come on and stand to your feet!
It's gonna be all right. It's gonna be all right. Good afternoon. I am Dr. Howard, your weekly host on Total Transformation Radio, WWDB 860 AM, with my wonderful wife and co-host, First Lady Vanessa Howard. Our mission is to impact the world with the transformational power of the gospel through real talk, biblical teaching, testimonials, discipleship, practical living, and life coaching. Call in right now, 888-329-3306, 888-329-3306. If you need prayer, if you want to make a comment, if you just want to holler. Today's topic, oh yes, it's juicy, relationships God's way. And we have two very special guests with us today, Pastor Salim and Pastor Rahisha Wright, and we are so grateful for them today. Today's scripture reading is found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
My, my.
We would also like to thank our radio show sponsors at 30 Main Restaurant and Catering, Hope Pregnancy Center, and Tara Oils. My goodness, we got on some folks that are going to talk about kingdom courtship. Pastor, can y'all give us a shout out to the people who are listening right now? Just give a little shout out. Amen. You are live on air, Total Transformation Radio.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We are excited and grateful to be with you guys. I appreciate the honor of being on with you and, just the opportunity you guys have presented us. We are really grateful today.
Yes, we are so excited. It's Pastor Raisha here. Just excited about what the Lord is going to do today. And we just thank you guys for this opportunity.
Praise God. We thank the Lord for you all and the great ministry that you're doing and kingdom courtship and your church as well. We thank God for how he's using you mightily for the kingdom. And all you out there listening, just get ready. First Lady is about to read their bio, and then we're just going to let the Holy Spirit flow. It's all about transformation, y'all. It's all about overcoming, y'all. It's all about impacting, y'all, the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. First Lady?
Yes. Pastor Salim and Rahisha Wright met in 2007 at Palmer Theological Seminary. During their time at Palmer, they went from classmates to friends. The basis for their relationships was developed in prayer. It was during prayer they felt God speaking to them and revealing to them they were to be married. They also knew God wanted them to pursue marriage honorably. They were introduced to the biblical model of courtship, and as a result of courting, they remained abstinent, built a rock-solid friendship, and honored God to the altar. Pastor Rahisha is the administrative pastor of Soderton Worship Center. She is also a wife, mother, worshiper, intercessor, preacher, teacher, finance coach, seminarian, intercessor, and beautiful woman of faith. Rahisha's dedication to the Lord, her family, and faith empowers people to grow closer to the Lord. Pastor Salim is the lead pastor of Soderton Worship Center. He is also a husband, father, pastor, preacher, theologian, apologist, teacher, spoken word artist, and MC. Salim's contemporary, humorous, yet challenging style and presentation of the gospel makes the Bible plain and shows people who Jesus is in their everyday life. They credit the model of courtship in providing them with the foundation of nearly 11 years of marriage and three beautiful children, Kyla, Judah, and Jonah. Courtship has revolutionized their lives and laid a biblical foundation for their marriage. As a result, they vow to each other the better. Biblical way of courtship.
Amen. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Let the church say praise amen. The Lord. Yes. And all of you out there listening, these two, this power couple, these pastors here with us today, they're going to pour into us about kingdom courtship and marriage and what God says, really relationships, God's way. And, you know, before we even get started, can I have Pastor Salim open us up with prayer? Amen. And then we'll just jump and let the Holy Spirit move as he wishes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Gracious God, in the name of Jesus, Dad, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you for this show, this broadcast. I thank you for this beautiful couple who has saw fit to bring us on today. Just pray, Father, that you would bless this time together. Anoint this station, anoint the ears that shall listen. God, we thank you, and we don't count it a small thing to do this today. We are so humbled and so honored, God, that you would give us this opportunity. And so, Dad, we just ask that you bless our time, that you bless this space, that you bless this broadcast. We commit all things to you, God, that you would guide us and lead us into all truth. We bless you. We honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. To God be the glory. Holy Spirit, we thank
yes,
you
Lord.
For being present here on the airways and where we are. And God, you're everywhere. And we're just ever so grateful. Thank you for that prayer, man of God.
Amen. You know, now that we got all those things out of the way, you know, Dr. Howard, when you were talking about the scripture, Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God
my
forgave
Lord.
You. You cussed like three times.
My Lord.
Okay, because number one is kindness is not easy, okay? Being compassionate is not easy. And definitely talking about forgiveness. Forgiveness is so hard, especially when it's someone who did wrong against you. And when we're all caught up in our emotions,
my
don't
Lord.
Talk to me about
and
forgiveness.
And the flesh. Amen.
So I just wanted to put that out there, okay? Pass it to him and Rahisha.
Amen. Amen.
These things are very difficult to do outside of the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the Spirit of God that keeps us at bay, right? And he ministers to us when we are caught up in our emotions and we want to do contrary to what God wants us to do. And that's why the Word of God is alive, because once we begin to read the scriptures that helps and guide us, it really navigates us emotionally, mentally, and physically, right? We move into action.
Because if not, we would be boxing 24/7.
But you know what? I want to say one thing, and I'm going to give you guys the opportunity to talk. But this show right here is for The couple that is ready to throw in the towel. It's the end of the year. We're moving into 2022. I pray, hallelujah, that whatever is spoken today ministers to you and encourages not to throw in the towel, Lord. But to fight for your marriage and fight for your relationship. Amen. And for that man that you're with to solidify your relationship and put the ring on it, okay?
And put a ring on it.
Put a ring on it.
But just make sure that you hear from God clearly.
Yes.
Amen. And that you seek wise counsel. Amen. To God be the glory. But go ahead, pastors. Y'all bless us. Bless us. Talk about it from the beginning to now.
Yeah.
From the beginning. Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, it kind of summed it up in the bio when we met in seminary. We didn't know each other before we went to seminary together. We officially met in class. We had class together, and we're just building, going through the stages of friendship.
So, and we met at orientation.
We met
when you were silly.
Well, no, see. And we didn't technically meet then. What happened was I got up and we had to introduce ourselves at orientation. So I introduced myself, and I pretty much I like to make fun a lot. And so I told them, you know, I'm a college graduate. I take donations. I take food stamps. I take whatever y'all want to do to bless me because I ain't got no money right now. Right? So everybody laughs and nobody takes me seriously except for my wife now. So
right,
when I met her in class, she was like, I heard what you said at orientation, and she bought me and my roommate, I guess from Sam's Club or BJ's,
like a
lifetime supply of peanut butter crackers and some water. So she asked me, I don't know, it was like a week later, what I thought, and I was like, well, I like the water. I didn't really care for the peanut butter too much. So that's how that kind of started.
That is so funny.
He stole my pen as well and wouldn't give it back. So
yeah,
you know.
But on another note, as far as like just the relationship, it's so much to our beginnings. But we had a friend of ours who said you guys should read this book called Choosing God's Best by Dr. Don Ronacar. And that came after those who were within our circle were seeing us and like, I think you guys are going to get married. We're like, no. You know, like, I'm like, that's Celine. That's my brother. And he's like, that's Raisha. Like, no way. And literally every time after our classes, I had the biggest room on campus, and we would just go to my room and we would just spend time in prayer and just praying. And one night we actually, it was a whole group of us that would just spend time just praying. We just love to pray. And then one night it was just, I think it was just three of us. It was me, Salim. No, this one night was Mama Rose when, That was the night when the Lord spoke to us and basically revealed to us, like, okay, you guys are really, you know, meant for each other and going to be married. So that's the kind of quick version of how it got started and how things were. So.
And when we realized that this was God's best for us, we both decided, well, we don't want to do what we used to do because we had been through the relationship cycle and was like, we don't want to mess this up. It felt real. This was, at least for, I know for me, for sure, this was the realest thing I had ever felt concerning a relationship with a woman. And so I was like, okay, God, what do we do? And then actually a friend of ours, Tierra Neal, told us about the book, Choosing God's Best. And so we followed that book like the Bible. The book is Choosing God's Best by Dr. Don Ronacar. We followed it to a T. We said, we're going to do this. This is what we're going to do. We read it front to back, cover to cover. We implemented all the things they told us to implement. And we went through the process of courtship. We got engaged 2009. Mm-hmm. We got married 2010.
Yeah. Nine months later,
we got married. So it was a very quick process for us because we were at the place in our life where we knew what God wanted for us. We knew what we were supposed to do. And we didn't want to date because we realized dating didn't work for us, but we didn't know what the alternative was until we were introduced to courtship. And then after that, we were like, okay, we're married. We were abstinent. We had accountability. It was all well and good. We're going to go on about our marriage and live our lives. And then God just kept challenging us that we need to teach this to other people. Mm. And through that challenging and that prompting, we said, okay, we're going to teach about courtship. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we did our first unofficial conference at our home church in Ardmore, Household of Faith Deliverance Worship Center, under our spiritual father, our pastor, Bishop Michael Brokenborough. We did like a seminar in the back.
Amen.
They were very receptive to the teaching. Mm-hmm. And after that, we did a conference, and we've done conferences, we've done tours, just teaching about it. Mm-hmm. Currently working on a book. So it's a lot of stuff that we've been able to do by the grace of God that courtship has sparked for us. So we're very
Amen. Amen. We thank you both for sharing that little background about how you got to where you are today. Before you jump into, imparting us about this kingdom courtship, mm-hmm. but also testify, if you will, to encourage those out there about when you met God, when did you have that transformational experience that prepared you for what God had in store for the both of you mm-hmm. much later?
Mm-hmm. So I'll say, I know for me, God met me on a college campus. I was not a stranger to the gospel. I wasn't a stranger to church. But it was something that I didn't really care for once I got out of high school. Mm-hmm. So I decided that, I'll just go to college and kind of live my life. Found myself in very deep depression in my first year and a half of college. And everything was just kind of not going the way I wanted it to go. And so the friends that I was hanging with weren't very positive influences on me. Loved them like brothers. We did everything together, stuff that's not PG. God had a plan for me that I found myself through my college experience hanging out with Christians. And this was probably one of the few times in my life where I felt like these Christians were not just preaching it, but living it. Mm-hmm. So my experience with them, my time with them, really was transformational to me to see how they follow Jesus, how they love Jesus. And I would say to myself, I was like, I want what they have. Mm. I wasn't outright like, oh, I want to be down with you guys. It was just kind of an organic thing when I was in college. And then one day in a dorm room, they put on a video of a preacher, and at the end he gave an altar call. So I stood up in front of the TV, got down on my knees, and asked Jesus to save me in front of the TV. And from there, the next year of college, I was just on fire, going around telling people about Jesus. Ended up graduating from college and then going to seminary, and that's where I met my wife. So Jesus saved me in a dorm room, which I'm eternally grateful for.
My Lord. I know somebody out there is encouraged right now listening, because a lot of things happen in dorm rooms. I spent time in dorm rooms. The reality is, but when God shows up and when he calls you and when he meets you in that place of desperation, depression, oppression, there is nothing like it, an encounter with God.
Yeah, I think, we all know individually when we are at our wit's end, when we have no other option. It's like, Lord, I need you to do something. I need you to intervene, because if you leave this thing up to me, I'm going to totally mess this up. And I liked how when you met Pastor Rahisha, it says that when a man finds a good thing, he knows it's a good thing, And I think you saw it in her in such a delicate way that you didn't want to mess this up. You both didn't want to mess this up. And so you sought out wise counsel, and then you found the book, and then you researched. So it's a wonderful thing to act for you to testify about that. When you know that you have a good thing, you don't want to mess it up. You don't want to mess that up. And would you mind just repeating, it's Choosing God's Best, and it's a book by Dr. Who?
Don Ronacore. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can you spell the last name for me?
I think it's
R-A-U. Hold on.
N-I-K-A-R.
Yeah. N-I-K-A-R. R-A-R. All right, that's for our listeners. Don Ron Hark.
Ronakar.
I'm messing this up.
Ronakar. R-A-U-N-I-K-A-R.
There you go. There you go. That's for y'all out there that want to, you know, dive in and read the book for yourself. But I have a question for you guys. What is courtship? What's the difference between courting and dating?
Yeah, yeah. Tell us.
All right. So
we love that question.
we'll break that down. Right?
So we have to break it down.
So there is a secular definition and then what we call kingdom courtship. So I'll give you the secular definition. Courtship, if you look to the dictionary, it's a process of wooing. And the word woo, we don't use it in our vernacular today, but the word woo means to romantic pursuit of another toward marriage. Mm. So animals court because in the animal kingdom, they're seeking a mate. For them, copulation, and that's how they meet, right? In the human world, we seek a mate for the purpose of marriage, and that's the ideal intentionality. So when you court someone, you're pursuing them for the purpose of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why we say kingdom courtship is because the world can get married all day till they're blue in the face.
Mm-hmm.
But the biblical process of marriage is much different than the world. With the world, there's caveats, there's stipulations, there's also a backdoor plan of getting out of it. When it comes to the scriptures,
and who you marry,
right? When it comes to the scriptures, we talk about kingdom courtship because we're talking about the kingdom's way of pursuit toward marriage.
Mm-hmm.
What does that look like? It's completely contrary to the world. So for the kingdom pursuit, it's principles that are involved. You have to have God first. You have to have the right God. The right God is Jesus, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. You have to have the right God. And then the person you're going to pursue has to have the right God. Also, you have to have accountability.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have people, ideally a couple that is in your business holding you accountable so that you're not crossing boundaries and you're not doing anything that's unbiblical or inappropriate. Also, you have to have the biblical view of marriage, something that you champion. You can't say, oh, I'm going to court, but I'm going to court somebody of the same sex. I'm going to court somebody who's transgender. You have to court somebody of the opposite sex, biologically male and female.
Correct.
You also have to champion biblical marriage. You can't be you can't say, oh, I believe in kingdom courtship, but I think it's okay for other people to get married when the Bible doesn't support that type of marriage. You also have to make sure if you're going to be involved in courtship that you have a commitment to strong boundaries.
Right.
So there's counterfeit oneness, which I'm not going to get into all the details,
but
there's counterfeit spiritual oneness when you connect spiritually with someone who's not your mate.
Mm-hmm.
There's counterfeit emotional oneness when you connect with someone who's not your mate, and physical oneness, which is fornication, sex before marriage.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you have to commit to purity. There has to be a commit to holistic purity, right? You may not be sleeping with them, but your soul is sleeping with them because you can't get disentangled from them. You may have never prayed with them, but emotionally you think about them every single day. Like they're literally on your mind all the time because you're emotionally caught up. So there has to be this commitment to purity. There has to be a commitment to accountability. It has to be a commitment to keeping God first. It has to be a commitment to biblical marriage. And so all those principles align with the process of courtship. And you have to know before you start courting that this is going to end in a marriage. I'm making a decision before we start courting. This is going to end in a marriage.
Mm.
Where dating, the word date means appointment. So we set appointments all the time. We set appointments with our doctors, our lawyers, our physician. That's what date means. The word date means appointment. Now, when you add the romantic aspect to date, it takes on a whole other connotation.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone says they're dating you, that can be defined differently between different people, right? I know people and I've met people who were dating someone who was married. So dating has no morality to it. It's the morality we put onto it. And what we do as Christians, we like to put Christian on everything. We say Christian dating, Christian Christian rap, Christian running, Christian yoga. We throw the term Christian everywhere. So as to say, it's Jesus approved.
Right.
But Jesus doesn't approve of dating biblically. Nothing in the scriptures say anything about dating. The word courtship is not in the Bible because people have that pushback. But the process of courtship is biblically advocating. When God says if you're romantically interested in someone, the end of that should be a marriage. It should not be fornication. It should not be a baby out of wedlock. It should not be an STD. It should not be an emotional heartbreak.
Preach, sir.
We were not called to get caught up in physical attraction, as the songwriter Shy said back in the day. We were called, if we're going to romantically pursue someone, to marry them. If we're not going to marry them, then we need to get our heart back in the bottle. Or as Song of Solomon says, do not awaken love until it's time. Mm-hmm. We have a generation that's broken love, and it's not time. Mm-hmm. So we have so many people with scattered hearts, broken hearts, emotional wrecks, children out of wedlock, everybody cuckoo crazy for Cocoa Puffs because we've all done wrong because we've been taught to date. And dating doesn't lead to successful marriage. The divorce rate is almost 60% because it's not marriage is not the issue. It's the process, toward marriage is flawed. And so that's why we advocate courtship over dating to help people say if you're going to do it right, then it will last. If you do it, if you start it wrong, it could last by the grace of God. We know plenty of people that have had successful, flourishing marriages, even though it started off crazy. But why start it off crazy when you can start it off right and avoid some of those headaches down the road?
Nice. Ooh, my Lord, my Lord. I know this is helping some folks. You broke it down for us. And, you know, this is good. This is good because courtship, you know, kingdom courtship, as you talked about the biblical process, my goodness, right? Accountability with God, accountability with others, champion biblical marriage, all of those things that you just said, a strong commitment to boundaries is very important. Boundaries of what you will not do and what you will do and making a decision. Amen. My wife and I made a decision not to be intimate or to have intercourse prior to us getting married. One of the most difficult things a man would ever have to do. When God is in it and the Holy Spirit empowers you to do something that will give you something, not a short time fix, but a lifetime of marriage and intimacy and relationship and relations. You know, we have to wait sometimes and delay the gratification for the major blessings that God has in store for us. So you are helping us and you're helping all of those listening out there to be encouraged to evaluate their relationships and begin to move towards kingdom courtship in preparation for God's covenant of marriage.
You know, I really think that the foundation of it all is your individual relationship with God. You know, as you guys were talking about, you know, you have to do this. But, you know, I heard you got to have a sound mind. And in order for you to have a sound mind and know what you want and know how you're going to do it and have a strong will to be able to do these things, you got to have a relationship with the Lord. Honestly, you know, we do live in a generation where, you know, when you talk about the fear of the Lord, it's completely out of the window. It's like, God, I love you enough to want to please you and do this the right way. Right. For me, before we talk about us, we have to talk about I and me. I love you, Lord, enough to want to do this because the Bible talks about blessings for obedience and curses for disobedience. And we don't really teach enough about that to know that if you do certain things, it will lead to this, you know, and if you do lead a life in this way, that's contrary to the Lord and sin, it will lead to this. Ultimately, the wages of sin is what?
The wages of sin is death.
And so, you know, I minister to, you know, young people all the time and letting them know you got to have a foundation and relationship with the Lord first. And when you want to honor and please God, you want to do everything in God's way. And as a result, you will be blessed. And the generations and your children's children will be blessed as well, because the sin and the things that we do, there's a ramification for it. It doesn't just last with us. Sometimes it goes into the next generation, and then they have to fight the battles that we couldn't fight and break down generational curses and this, that, and a third. You know, Lord help us, God.
And amen. And when we come back, we're going to take our halftime break. Do not leave. Do not go anywhere. Stay tuned in. Stay listened in. We're going to take a halftime break and hear some blessed music, All Right, by our very own First Lady, Vanessa Howard. And then when we come back, Pastor Rahisha, you are going to testify about your transformational experience with God, and then we are going to continue to talk about kingdom courtship.
Amen.
Amen.
Come on and stand to your feet.
It's going to be all right. We are back again on Total Transformation Radio, WWDB 860 AM, with your boy, Dr. Howard, and First Lady Vanessa Howard, and our special guests, the pastors, amen, Salim and Rahisha. And we are looking forward to being encouraged even the more regarding relationships God's way, kingdom courtship. Pastor Rahisha, can you explain to us your transformation, where God met you, and how you ended up where you are now?
Sure. Whew. My mom is listening. No, I'm playing.
To God be the glory.
Get ready. Wow. Yeah. It feels like it was so long ago, as if I'm really old, but yeah,
right,
it's been
right.
Some time. But really my life was it was all sorts of crazy. I was out there, just terrible, promiscuous, just in and out of bad relationships. just doing all, everything that I thought I could and should do. Right. So what happened to me was, I think it was in 99, like probably 99, I don't know what year it was, but I had started going down a road of just testing and trying different things, drinking, alcohol, stuff like that. And so one day I was trying to smoke, and I just didn't know how to do these things, but I just kept trying. And I had a bad batch or something had laced with my the marijuana that I was taking was laced, and I literally almost lost my life. And I remember falling down like the last couple of stairs, and I said to the Lord, I said, God, if you save me, I promise I will live my life for you. If you don't allow me to die, I will live my life for you. And I remember is at that time the ambulance had came to my house, and I was just in and out, in and out. And they put a, they were taking my blood pressure, and the paramedic was saying, we're losing her, we're losing her. Mm-hmm. And I just remember enough to pray. I wasn't saved or anything at the time, but thank God for grandma and your parents, and, you know, your upbringing. But I knew enough, as Helen Baylor say, to call on the name of the Lord. Mm-hmm. And I did that in that moment. And I honored what I told the Lord, because he saved me. He, you know, he kept me, here I am alive today. And so that's when my experience began to happen. So from there, I was like, okay, I need to find a church. You know, I need to really get saved. And being saved at that time for me was more about a feeling. So I went to this one church, and I was like, I just want to be saved. And I, you know, I just want to be saved. And the process of how they did it was very different from, you know, it was just different. And I just kind of left there like, well, that didn't work, next, you know. So I went to another church, and I'm like, I just want to be saved. Like, that's it, you know. And it was just like, well, you got to do this. It was almost like I had to jump through hoops just to get saved. Thank God I didn't give up right during this process. But until finally I was talking to my uncle one day, my dad's brother, and he said to me, he said, I have this church, you know, that I want you to go to, and I believe there you will get what you need. Mm-hmm. And I listened, I went, I gave my life to the Lord, and that was the beginning of the foundation that God had for me. And I mean, talking about total transformation, total transformation, from where I was, where I was going, and God just literally put the brakes and stopped it and literally changed my life around. And for that, I'm grateful.
Jesus, Jesus. I know that our listeners out there, there's somebody out there that said, I'm in that place. Mm. There's somebody out there that said, I was in that place, and mm-hmm. I needed God to show up. I needed a right now transformation. I needed a mm-hmm. right now blessing. I needed a supernatural God to move supernaturally in my life. So I thank you, Pastor, for sharing that testimony, because it's mm-hmm. powerful. And it's powerful mm-hmm. because God can meet us exactly where we are.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because he's not about time. God doesn't mm-hmm. see time. We are all about time and all of these things and appointments and schedules. But the reality is, whenever we're in a place of deep need, and if we look up and say, God, help us, he'll meet us right where we are.
Amen. Well, I'm so grateful for you to, that you shared your testimony, and you're very transparent about it, because mm-hmm. you just set someone free. And I love when people look at us, you know, now that we are where we are, and they look at us and think that we are self-righteous. No, I want you to take a step back and really hear our testimony. We did not get here just because we were Christians and we were living right all of our lives. No, we had to mess up and get to a point of surrendering to the Lord for us to get to hear and testify about his goodness. We can't tell you that God is a healer if he never healed us. We can't tell you that he's a transformation doctor if he never transformed us. We can't tell you to live a righteous life if we didn't have to live a righteous life. And we know that these are the keys to success.
Yeah.
You know, to live holy before the Lord. We know that these are where the blessings are because we've done it. We have done it. Mm-hmm. We've gone through it. And when we testify and when we talk to people and we try to get them to accept the Lord and to live right and have a holy marriage and this, that, and a third, it's not because we're self-righteous. It's because we've went through the hoops and we don't want you to fail in the areas that we have failed in the past. We're more than conquerors now through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Come on. I have a testimony myself, and so does Pastor. Amen. So we've come a mighty long way.
Amen.
Yeah.
Look, Dr. Howard was a hot mess until he was transformed. Transformed, and First Lady as well. And, you know, the reality is God saved us.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
God, just like you said, Pastor, you said God saved you. And God saved me and saved First Lady. He saved me when I was lying flat on my back, lost my mind, lost my way, lost everything. And I just heard the voice of God ask me the most profound question. He said, what about the children? And I live my life every day, and I didn't know anything about. At that time, I've been to church. I grew up in church, but I was not in seminary at the time. I was not getting my doctor. I was not studying the scripture. I wasn't doing any of that. But he spoke to me when I laid down and said, what about the children? Mm-hmm. See, God knows what will change your situation.
Yes, he does.
He knows what to ask you before you know what even your response is.
Wow.
And from that day forward, my life has never been the same. That was in 2005. My life has never been the same. It's been a process. Transformation is a process. Yes, God can do suddenly. He can deliver and set free suddenly.
Right.
But there's still a process leading towards the promise.
Amen. You know, and this is why we can't be afraid to share our testimonies, because it's through our testimonies people can actually sense realness. You know, some people, they're so ashamed of their past. No, I'm not ashamed of my past. I'm going to tell you where I've come from, but I'm also going to show you where I am now. I'm not the same Vanessa that was back then, but I want you to see my process and who brought me there. But I want to go to this next question, all right? What is abstinence? What does that mean?
Abstinence. To refrain. Literally, to not NOP.
Do not.
My goodness.
What are you refraining from? You are refraining from the whole list, right?
Right.
All sexual activity.
All sexual activity,
Wow, that's good. That's good, because the reality is just a little scoop of ice cream will make you eat the whole container.
Come on now. Yeah. Come on now.
And we have to be real about our emotions.
Yes.
We have to be real about desires and lust and all of those things we must be real about.
Yes.
And I know, just in general, you know, the reality is most people can't have one of anything.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know, the reality is, so we need to lean on the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to lean on God's word, his promises, his, you know, for the reality of this relationships, our marriages, because I'm looking at young people coming up today and it's different. They have more access. They have more access to these things, to the negativity, to the sexuality, to the provocative look and dress and speech and all of these things. Mm-hmm. And kingdom courtship is the furthest thing from their mind. And that's why God has called you.
And that this is why your ministry is going to flourish. Tremendously. Amen. Tremendously. I'm excited about the book. I'm excited about more seminars, and we're going to put this show out wherever we can. And I want you to not take this ministry lightly, and I know you don't, because God has brought you a mighty long way, but we are living in times where this message needs to be preached and just out there for everyone. The same way you got saved, you met Christians who were not just talking about it, but they actually lived it. And I believe mm-hmm. your realness is what people are going to gravitate mm-hmm. to, you know, when yeah. you share your testimonies. And then for them to, I would have never, from looking at you today, you know, so they say, when you look at me right. today, you will not be able to tell where I've come mm-hmm. from. Right. I would never be able to tell what your testimonies is by looking at you today. Right.
You can but never you judge a book by its cover.
Right.
And see, you've been through the fire, but we're never burned.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, right. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say that definitely speaks to transformation. I know in the church, we hear a lot about, you know, you hear this line, when God does it, there is no residue. Because sometimes people say, I'm delivered from something. And it's like, you look at it, be like, you sure? Right?
There's residue. Right all the way there.
Right. Right.
You sure? Because yeah. that's not what we see. But okay.
Right.
But you
right.
know, but when God, when he does it, yes. he does it. Mm. And he does it well.
Yes.
Yes, he does. Yes,
Amen.
He does.
Yes, he does. He
and
really
and
does.
Then he doesn't waste a drop. So that every experience you had, every situation we've been through, he turns that around into a ministry mm-hmm. so that we can be a blessing to someone else and help advance the kingdom in that way.
Yeah. You know, when you're talking about the definition of abstinence means to refrain from every sexual activity, I heard self-control, and self-control is a spiritual is a fruit of the spirit, and you mm-hmm. will not be able to have self-control outside of having a relationship with the Lord. Okay. You cannot do it in your own will, period.
Hold on, First Lady. I got to say something to that.
Okay.
Even with the help of the Lord, sometimes you cannot, Let me just be honest and real for just one moment here. Sometimes you just cannot, but we're praying and saying, the blood of Jesus, that we can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. Yeah. Even the impossible becomes possible.
Yeah, I remember when we were dating and, you know, there were some, every now and then again, we would mess up, right? And I wouldn't
She
care.
Would mess up.
No. The devil is lying.
Look, she like would Adam. Mess up.
Ladies, you know I didn't do that. You know.
Yes.
Yep, and every time something was about to pop off, I heard the Holy Spirit. I heard, no, like in a shouting voice, and it would scare me to death. And God said, if y'all don't stop messing around like this, I'm going to separate y'all. He said, I'm going to separate y'all.
That's so important, because what we try to help people understand is Your context matters, your environment matters, mm-hmm. all of that matters
yes.
to build your spiritual fruit of self-control. Because yes. too often Christians will be like, well, I'm being abstinent, but you're right. doing everything that advocates
yeah.
fornication, that
yeah.
advocates yes. sexual perversion. You may not be having intercourse, but
yes.
you're doing everything else. Like
right.
I said you may be a virgin down there, but your mouth ain't a virgin, your hands ain't a virgin,
and that's
your eyes ain't a virgin.
You're real.
You right, Pastor. You right, Pastor. Okay.
Come on.
All right, so
that's the truth.
Look, and for all you non-virgins out there listening, take a vote and note of this kingdom courtship.
Yeah.
Amen. And the next time that this conference, that y'all have in this conference,
yes.
in whenever it is in 2022,
mm-hmm.
we want to not only be a part of it, but we want to promote it.
Yes.
Because there is such a need.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah, amen. Absolutely.
Wow.
God is good. Ooh. God is good. Mm. And, you know, I know that you were still testifying and sharing about this kingdom courtship and dealing with abstinence.
Mm-hmm.
If there was one thing that you could tell a young man or young woman who's struggling with doing relationships God's way, what would mm-hmm. you say to them that might encourage them to make that U-turn?
Mm-hmm. One thing. Oh, that's so much. I would say
to trust God. Mm-hmm. And it might sound a little cliche-ish, but I mean that because, and I say that because I remember for me, that's something that I always wanted, and I know I had done it so wrong for so long. And I literally was in a church service one day, and the preacher was, when he prayed for me, he said, I want you to tell the Lord, Lord, it doesn't matter how long it's going to take, I'm going to wait. And I did not want to say that because I wanted it now.
Right. Yeah.
But I said it, and then he made me literally say it until I meant it. And wow, really trusting God with my life, with that process, and in the wait, just trusting Him, it was worth it all. And I wouldn't trade anything that I've been through because of where I am now and who God has blessed me with, because He's definitely given me His best, as the book says, choosing God's best.
Amen. 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 And, Pastor Salim, what would that one word be as we wrap up here shortly? It's at this time flies, but you have 2 minutes to give us 2 minutes, and then we're going to move into our preacher's corner. Amen.
So I would say seek the truth. The Bible says the truth shall set you free. And yeah, I know the Bible says the only thing this world has to offer is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And too often we've built our relationships in the church off of the lies of the world, off of the images that we see, off of the perception of what's going on in somebody else's house, and we don't know the demons that they have. Mm-hmm. And so I would encourage anyone who's listening to seek the truth when it comes to your relationships. What is God's truth on romance? What is God's truth on abstinence, on purity, on holiness? What is God's truth on husbands and wives? What is His truth? And I know that if you seek that, you'll find the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Yeah.
Free from the cycle of dating, free from the cycle of divorce, free from the cycle of broken hearts, free from the cycle of impurity, free from all these cycles that, unfortunately, we say it's common now in the church. It's not common. It's an abnormality. It's a cancer. It's a virus.
Yes.
And we're not seeking truth as believers so we could be set free from all of these things that people will tell you, oh, this is just how it goes. That's not what God intended, and that's not what God wants for us.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory.
Woo. You know, can you guys also just encourage someone out here who have been married, who did it the right way, but their relationship is not quite working out right now? Maybe they're thinking about throwing in the towel.
Yes, absolutely. I would say this. One of the things that has really helped us is we've never, you know, stopped working on our marriage. Whenever there's marriage ministry, we're there. When marriage conferences, we're there. We currently have a couple that, you know, are like counseling mentors us in our marriage. And like you said, sometimes you can do things the right way and it still not end up the way that you want it to end up, and you feel like giving up. But my encouragement is to just hold on and just continue to pray, continue to trust God, continue to use the resources that God has given, because a lot of times people don't go to counseling or to therapy or have, you know, once you get married, you kind of stop doing the things that you did to get you to that place of marriage. And it's like, okay, we don't have this anymore, but still having those things in your life and those people in your life to help you in the process.
Amen. And I'll say this, to anybody whose marriage is struggling, they're like my bishop says, he says, if they weren't the one before, they're the one now. And what we've done in the church is have this concept of, I got to find the one. We advocate, you need to be the one. And if you're married, you need to be the one for your spouse. Be that person that is honoring your spouse, regardless of how your spouse responds, you have to be that person, because we all have to give an account to God for how we lived our lives. And so I would encourage anyone that if you've exhausted everything that you can to be the one sound of mind, sound of body, sound of spirit for your spouse, and allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest, then you, at the end of the day, you can sleep. At the end of the day, you'll have no regrets. But focus on being the one for your spouse, whether they're the one or not. Pray as the one, minister as the one, serve as the one. All the things about you focusing on being the one for your spouse.
Amen.
Amen. We thank God for that impartation. We thank God for this blessed show with our two special guests. Amen. Pastor and Pastor Wright, amen. To God be the glory.
Yes.
We thank you. And we are about to wrap up and go into our preacher's corner. We are here again at Total Transformation Radio. Amen. And we want to just thank our sponsors at 30 Main Restaurant and Catering, Hope Pregnancy Center, and Terra Oils. And we thank our special guests and all of you out there listening to Total Transformation Radio. God bless
Hi.
You.
I'm Lady Artist, and I bring you greetings from the Warrior Wives and Women in Wait online ministry. This is the Preacher's Corner. Ephesians 4 and 32, the NIV version reads, "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ has forgiven you." There is power in forgiveness. In fact, forgiveness is the bedrock of our relationships. Without forgiveness in this relational world, life would actually become pretty unbearable. The Apostle Paul speaks candidly about forgiveness being particularly important for believers in Christ. That's because as believers, we are a forgiven people. In these verses in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul says that believers should forgive as God has forgiven us. But forgiveness isn't always easy, is it? It's particularly hard when the hurt is big, and when the hurt endured is inflicted by a family member or even by the one we have chosen to enter into the loving covenant of marriage with. It even becomes even more difficult when the person refuses to acknowledge the hurt they've caused. Sometimes we've tried to pack so much into this idea of forgiveness that we begin to shoulder a burden that's impossible to bear. That's why we need to understand what forgiveness is and what it isn't. So Paul is opposing forgiveness to bitterness, rage, and malice. Understanding this helps us be clearer about forgiveness and what it means. Forgiveness is not opposed to truth. Forgiveness doesn't mean you have to make excuses for the person who hurt you. You can forgive someone even when you acknowledge the hurt they've caused and put boundaries in place to protect yourself from experiencing that kind of hurt again. This is the key to building successful relationship Christ's way. Maybe you're listening and the idea of forgiveness seems impossible because you have not yet received the gift of forgiveness found through salvation. If that's true, pray this prayer with me. Father, I admit that I'm a sinner. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that you sent your son Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. And because he died and rose again with all power, my sins are forgiven. Today, I make you my Lord and Savior. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Today, we gain some invaluable relationship wisdom keys as we listen to Pastors Wright as they spoke about kingdom courtship. It is our prayer that you learn something today that would strengthen your relationships. I pray that as you learned about forgiveness, that you're able to give it freely, just as you've received it freely from Christ. Thank you for listening. Be blessed.